Good morning and welcome to Versailles Baptist Church, Pastor Mike Cantrell, and we welcome you on this day after Independence Day, 4th of July. Hope you had a wonderful day of celebration, and now we meet this morning on July the 5th, and we thank you for joining us this morning, and thank you, Crystal, for playing My Country Tis of Thee. And we thank Joe Moore for reading our scripture from Psalms 33:12. And as I listened to that particular scripture, it's very fitting for this weekend being July the 4th. And I would like to read that again just for the emphasis of it for our nation, for our country, what we need to be doing, and knowing that God works through nations who look to Him for guidance. So this scripture, Psalms 33:12, says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance." A good scripture to memorize, good scripture to take notice of, even for America. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for this wonderful, beautiful day You've given us. And as we've just celebrated our independence, over 200 years as a nation, we thank You, Lord, that You are with us, You guide us, You direct us, especially when we take Your word and we read it and we apply it to our life as individuals and as a country, as a nation. And Lord, we thank You for the blessings that You bestowed upon us each day as a nation and as individuals, you know, as church. Lord, we thank You for Your part in guiding us and taking us and moving us forward for Your kingdom. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for the message today and everything that we will experience. In the name of Jesus Christ, in His name we pray, amen. The title of the message today is questions from Habakkuk that he had to God concerning the nation of Judah, Israel, and very fitting for us today as a nation. As we look into the Old Testament, Habakkuk, because it gives us good guidelines and instructions what we need to do. We need to be depending upon God, even when we don't see our pleas, our petitions, our supplications always answered in a way that we think they should be. We know that God does answer those in His time, and there's preparation things that we need to do in our own lives as as individuals and as a nation to ensure that we are in line with God's commands and what He wants us to do as a people, to be obedient, to be submissive to Him. So sometimes we will have those questions as well. So in Habakkuk chapter 1:1-4, and also if you have time today, you can look at Exodus chapter 23:6-8. Exodus 23:6-8. But the main text is Habakkuk chapter 1:1-4. So to give you an introduction of this message, the book of Habakkuk, and I will call it Chronicles as well, God answers to a prophet during a time of what I would call global uncertainty and social instability. Similar to what we're going through today or going through now in our nation. So people in those days were like those today who wake up every morning with fear and anxiety in their hearts. And the church is not immune to the swing of the generated by events like this. We're not immune to these events at all, as we will see here in Habakkuk in chapter 1. So as we look at these verses in Habakkuk, you know, I hope and I pray this will be a what I would call a source of inspiration and a guide for facing these situations that are beyond our control. Not God's, but many events, circumstances are beyond our control. And that's why Habakkuk went to God. He had questions. He needed some answers. And we do as well. So Habakkuk, he teaches that though we cannot always change our circumstances, we can change our attitude towards them. So God wants us to pray and pay special attention to what's going on, but at the same time, we are not to worry, for He is not missing from this time in which we have been called to live. He's in the midst of all the things that we experience on a daily basis. So what we see as a tragedy in life sometimes, God sees it as a great opportunity for us to get our perspective like His, to look in it like His perspective. So as the apparent security offered by comfort and confirmation, as we see it maybe sometimes fade, people are more open to seeking spiritual truth. And we see more people seeking spiritual truth in our day and time right now with all the things that we've been experiencing in the last few months. So, as we look at Habakkuk answers many of their sincere questions that come from society in which we have also been raised. We see those in our life each day. We experience these things, a lot of the questions, and we see the answers that Habakkuk finds out and through our scripture today. So looking at the real enemy here of the church today, I believe humanism is a big key factor here, which wants to remove society from traditional moral judgments and relativism, where man's decisions are only the correct ones. And it asks questions like, why are things in life and history so mixed up if a sovereign Lord is in charge and moving from a starting point to an ending point? And then another question maybe society may ask, if God is so real and so involved, why can't we not see involvement more? Why is there so much violence and evil in the world where such good and a powerful God exists, who's supposed to love us and is in charge? So, the book of Habakkuk speaks to these issues, and I pray that you would pay close attention to these four verses. As Habakkuk, he approaches God and he pleads to God, he petitions God with supplications to get answers. So, though it was, I'm thinking around 606 BC when Habakkuk wrote this book, and I want to say it is a book of our times. This is a book of our times. Life is filled with questions. You know, we have a lot of questions in our life, and some of them are really good, and some of them sometimes we think, well, how are they going to get answered? Well, from children on down the line, asking how, why, and then. And not all questions are answered to our expectations. We have some expectations, but they don't always are answered that way. God doesn't always work on our terms. He works on His terms, and His terms are much, much better. So we can either doubt and live in uncertainty, or we can come up with our own answers and become proud, or we can ignore the questions and become cynical and even hard-hearted. So the best option, I believe, according to scriptures, and I believe scriptures from cover to cover, the best option is we live our life of faith and continue like Habakkuk, looking for answers. So Habakkuk, he was troubled by all the sin. He was troubled by oppression. He was troubled by the evil and the violence that was going on. And he was what I would call intervening and interceding for the nation of Israel. So he wondered why the righteous suffer. And I've had that question asked me many, many times. Pastor Mike, why does the righteous, why do the Christians, why do they suffer? And why evil men prosper? Well, if God is God, why does He tolerate injustice? And we see a lot of injustice going on in our society today. Why doesn't He do something? That is a question for many. It was a question by Habakkuk. And Habakkuk saw a sin-sick, dying world, and it broke his heart as he sought God for answers. So in this unique book, Habakkuk he dialogues with God, just like you and I can dialogue, or we can communicate with God through prayer. And God answers our questions through prayer. It may be yes, it may be no, and it might be wait. And the waiting is sometimes the hardest part for us when we are asking God questions. It's okay to ask God questions, just don't doubt. Just believe. So may we listen to his complaint that we might later learn from God's responses. We can learn a lot from the Word of God if we will read it, and as God interprets the Scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will eventually see God's responses, just like Habakkuk did. Now listen to the profound question Habakkuk boldly brings to God, and realize that you too can bring your complaints and your inquiries and your questions to God. So the first question is by Habakkuk, what is here in verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 tells us the author of the book, or the oracle, and what prompted him to write this first verse. He says in verse 1, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. This was what he was seeing. We see things in this world today, and sometimes we are confused and maybe are not sure what's going on. If you look at the Word of God, and especially in the Old Testament, as the prophecy provides all the information that we need, we can see prophecy fulfilling itself each day. And as we look at Habakkuk and his questions and way God responded, we can see the reverent things that happened then that are going on today, and we have a better understand how God responds to our questions. So Habakkuk was perplexed that God was letting evil increase, and we see that happening today. It's increasing and not punishing it. So the Lord's commissions him to work through his difficulties to further reveal his ways to the people. God always has an advocate. He always works through certain people, leaders, those who our heart is bent towards God. He uses people like that. And God uses people who are most close to him. That is very evident. Now, verse 2 begins Habakkuk's cry in his complaint. This is where it all starts. Here in verse 2, Habakkuk says, how long? How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and thou wilt not hear? I cry out to thee. Then he says, violence, violence, yet you do not save. Habakkuk is saying, I haven't heard. You haven't told me yet. I don't see anything happening yet in our defense. So the prophet and righteous remnant, long-standing concern, erupts into a question right here. Why was God so seemingly indifferent that he did not help or save the nation of Israel at this time? Everything is going wrong in the land, and God is apparently not intervening. So, Habakkuk's words, here it is. How long? Have you asked that question lately? How long do we endure this COVID-19? How long do we endure this violence and confusion? All the things that we're experiencing now, how long will it last? And it shows his agony over God's delay in responding to the concern and the prophet's ideal or his plea for help. So, since the prophet is powerless to the altered conditions, the Lord has not answered yet. He asks, why is it permitted to see such iniquity on every land, and violence and strife going unchecked? So, what troubles the prophet is the Lord seems to look these heartbreaking conditions with indifference. Even though he's always active, involved, that's how Habakkuk saw it. So it's the kind of cry that we might utter over what I would say moral decline or division that we are seeing here in America today. Again, verse 2 says, violence. And this is the key word sprinkled throughout this prophecy, linked, like link blots on a crumbled pages of our history. So it indicates the ethical wrong of which physical brutality is only one possible expression. It is a malicious conduct intended to injure another, and we see that going on today. So Habakkuk cries out, violence against the unchecked confusion and corruption going on. But God still does not save, or he doesn't deliver from what oppression or restricts at this time. All right, let's look at the second question Habakkuk had, and it's found in verses 3 and 4. Why does God seem insensitive to sin and suffering? Habakkuk's question, complaint to God, continues, as I said, in verse 3. Follow along with me in your Bibles, if you please. Why do you make these inquiry and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. You see the intensity of his questions. His heart is really being poured out before God for his concern for a nation as he intervenes for the nation Israel. So, God opened up the prophet's eyes and caused him to see the true condition of the situation surrounding him. And what he saw was iniquity and wickedness. Does that look familiar to you today? Very, very common as it is in Habakkuk's day. As he continued observing, he saw all the strife and contention arising among people. And that happens. When everything else goes out of sort, people get involved, and they get strife and contention within themselves. And the Hebrew word for strife is rib, or confusion, madden, is the Hebrews. Legal terms. These are legal terms in the Hebrew language. So Habakkuk saw many lawsuits and legal quarrels in Judah's courts. And we see that going on in our nation today within our own government, with our own high officials suing one another over statements and things and conditions and events that are taking place. It happened then. It's happening today. So Habakkuk, he wonders why God can cause him to see the hateful condition and then do nothing about it. So saddened by the injustice and violence, he pours his heart out to God. And that's what we need to be doing as a nation, as a people, pouring our heart out to God, believing in faith, standing in faith, waiting for God to intervene. And God just seems to tolerate, if not condone, the cruelty and the injustice that's going on in Habakkuk's day. So the silence of God in human affairs, then as now, has ever been difficult to understand. We want some answers. People want answers every day to this COVID-19 and the other things that are going on in our nation as far as contention and cruelty. But this does not mean that there is not an answer. God has answers. We just need to wait for Him to give them to us. And that's the divine wisdom is incapable of coping with the situation. That's how Habakkuk was seeing it at this time. So all of this and all that Habakkuk was asking was under God's seeing eye. And everything is under His control. And it always will be, even now in our day and time. So the six problems of social corruption in verse 3 led to four terrible situations in verse 4. So now I'm going to verse 4. Follow along with me. Therefore, the law is ignored. And what that means, ignored, means it's paralyzed. Like you're paralyzed and you can't move. Your inability to do anything. So, therefore, the law is ignored, Habakkuk says, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out of perverted. Some strong, profound words there that Habakkuk is saying. But since God would not act, the very laws that that the society was built upon were rendered ineffective or paralyzed. That's how Habakkuk saw it. And maybe that's how we see it today in our lives. Where's the answers? What's the solution? So the law came to be looked upon as being without force or authority. And we see that today. Where's our law? There's no respect. It's lost its authority. And the law came to be looked upon that way. So since the forms of judgment or injustice were corrupted, life itself was insecure. And maybe that's where a lot of people feel today, that our life is insecure because of an injustice that we see going on. Justice could not prevail because the wicked knew how to hem the righteous on all sides. So that's what Habakkuk was addressing. He could not receive his just due cause at this time. So because God did not punish sin immediately, men thought they could sin on immunity, that they could get away with it. So we see here in this verse that the wicked hemmed in the righteous. The righteous were locked out of the political and the legal system, and the wicked held the key. That's what we see going on right here. Therefore, the justice was perverted and twisted out of shape. So with wicked men in power, justice was twisted and deliberately avoided till it became what we see even in our society today as injustice. So, in conclusion, today, corruption is still rampant as we see in Habakkuk's day. But don't let your concern cause you to doubt God or rebel against God. Hang in there with God. God has all answers. He will see us through everything that we experience in life. Instead, consider the message that God will give to Habakkuk and recognize that God's long-range plans and purposes will prevail. And we need to realize that God is doing right, even when we don't understand why He works or as He does what He does. We have to trust Him with faith, walk by faith. The righteous walks by faith, those who believe in Him. So, when you and I struggle with serious concerns, the Bible says don't lose heart. Do what Habakkuk did. Bring them before God and ask Him about them. If we have any questions, ask God. He has the answers. And in His time, He will reveal the answers you seek. Even in Matthew chapter 5, we are to ask, seek, and knock on all opportunities. God gives us that freedom. He welcomes us to come to Him. If we have a troubled heart, His yoke is light, and His burden is as well. So anytime we have a question, we need to ask God about it. So in His time, He will reveal the answers we seek. And I think the key question, the answer to all of this is repentance. Repentance is the answer. And when we as a nation repent, we as individuals repent, as Habakkuk saw, and as he sought answers from God, that's what God revealed. We need to repent of our wrongdoings in life. Every one of us, every person in this society, in this world, needs to repent of their shortcomings before God. And God will reveal at that time His righteousness and His true allegiance to us as a people of God. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for the message through Habakkuk. As You spoke through him to the people then, You speak to us today. And Lord, may we take heed what the things that we need to do and never lose heart, but always trust You with everything within our heart, mind, and soul. Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord, that You love us. And You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, shed His blood, that we might have eternal life, those who accept Him as their personal Savior. Anyone listening today that is troubled, has anxiety, or any concerns about what's going on in their lives or in the world today, Lord, may they seek You, come to You, Lord, and You will help them with the answers. You will help them in any situation, with all circumstances, Lord. We can trust You with our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Crystal will now close our service with In my heart there rings a melody. That is very true when it comes to trusting the Lord. Thank you. I wasn't expecting that, but I appreciate it. Thank you very much. God bless you. You have a wonderful week.